8:32, and it is time now for Community Connection. I'm Tom Davis, and with me, I have Chief Chuck Hoskin, Jr., Principal Chief of Cherokee Nation. How you doing, Chief?
Tom, doing well. Good to talk to you.
Long time no see, but I got to tell you, you've been busy, and nobody needs to remind you that, do they?
Well, every day's busy, but I always say it's better than the alternative, so I'm glad to be busy every day. We've got a lot to do.
Hey, congratulations. I heard the casino down in Catoosa got the TripAdvisor Award or something like that.
It did. They're still tops when it comes to hospitality and entertainment. And I think part of the reason, Tom, is that we take the safety precautions so serious during COVID. And then when it's non-COVID time, you know, of course we pack the house, but we're being safe, and I think people appreciate it.
Oh, man, that's really cool. Another thing I'm kind of very happy to see. I really got a kick out of always going to the Heritage Center, and I understand we now have the Cherokee Heritage Center 2020 that got unanimous support by the council. Tell us what this is all about, and I think it's pretty cool.
This is monumental for those who have a sense of the history of the Heritage Center itself, and I think for much of the public, it's not something people are well versed in. But the Heritage Center began in 1963, Tom. Now, that was a time when Cherokee Nation's government was still being suppressed by the United States. We surely didn't have two nickels to rub together in terms of preserving our history. And so a group of Cherokees began the Cherokee National Historical Society in 1963. And thank goodness they did, because they saved so many items that were left. You know, a lot of items sort of scattered to the four winds. The state of Oklahoma has a lot of our archives, and the universities has others. But a core of our archives remained. They've taken care of them. They created the Heritage Center not too long after formation in the 60s. Cherokee Nation, of course, has been on a progression of prosperity since we were able to sort of reorganize our government in the 70s and engage in economic development. We're at a time now when we're in a position to really obtain all of those treasures inside the Heritage Center. Tom, one thing that's really amazing in the Heritage Center is there's a land patent signed by Martin Van Buren, one of maybe two originals. The United States has the other one tucked away somewhere that really is our reservation. Of course, reservation's been in the news a little lately, but it's the actual document, and it's sitting in the Heritage Center. The Heritage Center, over time, has struggled in terms of keeping up the physical plant of the facility, making it the kind of world-class museum and research center we all want it to be. So the Cherokee Nation is now getting all of the collections, or getting the building. It's coming back to us. The Historical Society itself will be reformed. It'll continue to do advisory work. But this is an exciting time because, Tom, I know you've been to Tahlequah, and people who've seen some of our other museums know that they're really a first rate. And so we're going to take that Heritage Center and make it the place everybody always wanted it to be.
That is really nice. You know, I like the one downtown in the old courthouse there. Really tells the story. It tells it very, very well when the first thing you see when you start walking up the steps of the canoes. And there's always somebody there to tell you what that's all about. And I will tell you that I had no idea until one of the museum people started telling me the story, how the Cherokee Nation began, actually off an island.
Yeah, these stories are just part of our history. And so we consider ourselves the principal people, as I think people and cultures around the world do, and their origin stories, because that's who they know, and that's the oral tradition that's handed down. And and the creation of that first island where Cherokees lived is an incredible story. You can learn about that, of course, at the museum you just described, the Cherokee National History Museum. With the Heritage Center, people will eventually be able to take an even deeper dive. And then people that are into genealogy and academic research, well, it'll be a great place for them, too. There'll be a time when you come to Tahlequah, Tom, and all you'll need to know about history of the Cherokee people and our language will be accessible, and it'll be a great experience for people of all ages.
Well, one thing that happened at the new place, I noticed some statuary, I guess it is, the Trail of Tears. That wasn't there the first time I was there, but by golly, when I was there last year, about a year or so ago, that took my breath away.
Yeah, there's incredible things to find, and we just have to make them accessible. That's really been the challenge of the last generation, is do we have the resources to make them accessible and even create new art and new people to tell our stories as the generation of Cherokees come up? But we're really getting there, Tom.
Indeed. Now, health has been a priority with Cherokee Nation. We touched on it a little bit when we talked about the Hard Rock and the health precautions that are taking place there, and also here in Ramona, and all of the other properties and all the other businesses that are Cherokee owned and operated. We've got a lot of elders out there, and they need protection, and I understand the nation's been really stepping up to remind them to take precautions with this COVID-19.
Yeah, we do. I mean, the most vulnerable among us, particularly elderly folks with comorbidities, that is other health conditions that make getting COVID much more risky, we've all got to look out for them. And so we continue to educate particularly our elders on staying safe. And we do things like get food to them still so that they can avoid going out to the grocery stores. And basically anything we can do to try to help make their lives a little better. We did a direct cash assistance program in which elder of any income could sign up for a $400 direct payment that they could use for their own COVID response, cleaning supplies, masks, and those sorts of things. And then from time to time, we'll just put those packages together and bring them to elders that we know are in a situation where they're isolated. Sometimes they're alone, and they just need a helping hand. So we're really focused on that, Tom, because even though I think a lot of us look around the country and around the region and they see COVID and they think, well, we can get about our lives and we'll be okay, maybe true, and you may be able to survive a bout with COVID, but who knows what elder you'll come into contact with. And for us and for any culture, that's important. But I think about those 2,000 first language Cherokee speakers that we have left, Tom, and we've lost too many of them.
Yes.
Just to passing because of old age. But we've lost a number of them to COVID. And I think about that, Tom, every single day.
Yeah. Well, speaking of language, you've got the TV series up again for, what, a sixth season?
Sixth season of OCO TV, a great show. Jen Lauren, the host, will bring all sorts of wonderful stories of Cherokee culture and language. There's going to be some exciting things this season. I saw some previews, and the first episode is out. And one of the great things is there's a young lady who went off to be a professional chef, but she always remembered her roots, and you can learn about how she incorporates Cherokee food, traditional foods, into what she does professionally. It's always great to see that integration between people that go out into the rest of the world and do good and are professionals, but they don't forget their roots. And you can find out all that sort of stuff on OCO TV. You can get it online, and of course in this area you can watch it on TV. So anyway, great season coming up.
We're talking with Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr., Principal Chief of Cherokee Nation, right here on our program called Community Connection on K1, the one you trust. Want to go back to health. Flu shots, that's a big deal. Not just everywhere, but especially in Cherokee Nation this year.
Well, it's important, and it's important everywhere because, you know, the flu is significant anywhere. We, again, get back to that discussion about elderly population, those who are vulnerable. In any year, that's what drives Cherokee Nation to say, everybody get a flu shot. Now, typically, Tom, we'd be doing these not only in our health centers, but at community meetings, which we have many of in the fall. The problem is we're not having community meetings right now because of safety, but we're substituting that for drive-through flu shots at a number of facilities, including some of these community buildings. We'll have a schedule out, and we'll be up in the Washington County area for sure, Nowata County, and all sorts of the parts of the northern part of Cherokee Nation, across Cherokee Nation. And that flu shot's particularly significant this year, Tom, because the experts say that, and this makes complete logical sense, you don't want to layer a massive flu outbreak on top of this worst in living memory public health crisis of COVID. We'll have a real big problem on our hand, and I thought we already had a big problem. So we're doing all we can to get those shots out in the community. And here's what's important, Tom, is when we give flu shots to everybody, because it doesn't matter if your neighbor that is not Cherokee and has the flu, that affects you. So we want to try to help everybody so anybody in the community really can come out and get those shots.
That is really neat. We're talking with Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. He's the chief of Cherokee Nation. A couple of things. I want to go back to the court situation here. I understand that William Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, paid a visit down to the Tulsa area, and I understand Cherokee Nation was invited to the proceedings. How'd that go?
Well, great. Not only were we invited, we hosted him. So he actually flew into Tulsa, met with U.S. Attorney Trent Schwartz of the Northern District, who works so well with the Cherokee Nation. That's one thing that I think is the reason that we get some of these visits, is because we have such a good working relationship with their jurisdictions, including the U.S. Attorney, including the Justice Department. So Attorney General Barr came last week on Wednesday. He really spent the whole day in Tahlequah before heading back to Washington, D.C., to hear him talk about the commitment of the Department of Justice to helping the tribes in Oklahoma that are affected deal with the McGirt case, and helping all of us deal with the McGirt case. McGirt, of course, being a dramatic change in jurisdiction and criminal law in Northeast Oklahoma. And right in the studio you're sitting, Tom, is reservation land now. Mm-hmm. Where my home in Veneta is reservation land. Everywhere you go in Northeast Oklahoma is reservation land under this McGirt case. That has criminal law implications, which means the U.S. Attorney's Office is going to have a more prominent role in all sorts of prosecutions it normally would not. It means the Cherokee Nation will have a role in that. That all takes resources, and it takes cooperation. So the Attorney General came and said, look, the first round of funding we want to help you with is $7.6 million in public safety grants, $1 million victim services. You know, we want to make sure that victims see justice. That takes resources. $2.7 million for tribal justice infrastructure. So there's all sorts of things we're going to have to do, stuff we're going to have to buy to create this criminal justice system that's fair to everyone. And then over the course of 2 years, or 3 years rather, there's going to be additional prosecutors in the Eastern District of Oklahoma, that's based in Muskogee, and the Northern District, that's Mr. Shores in Tulsa, to hire two prosecutors who are just going to be dedicated, and they're going to be cross-designated to handle both tribal court cases and federal court cases involving criminal law. That's part of a larger, nearly $300 million mm-hmm. package for all of Indian Country. And, Tom, that's what we need. And if your listener is Cherokee, that's great. If your listener is not Cherokee, that's great. Because, look, we're living in reservation land now, and we have to wrap our minds around it, and we have to cooperate, and we have to shift resources and bring in new resources to get the job done. Because at the end of the day, Tom, I want you to go to bed thinking, I live in a safe community. I want to go to bed living in a safe community, and I want to make sure that is reality, no matter who prosecutes the criminal that might do something. So in any case, we're working together. I think the Attorney General of the United States knows Cherokee Nation wants to cooperate to protect everyone, and I think that's why he came to see us.
Great. How's the response from the First Lady? I understand she would like to visit Cherokee Nation as well.
Well, Tom, she was really poised to visit soon. Of course, now the White House is dealing with something that would take all of us off of our schedule, which is COVID, and we certainly hope and pray for her safe healing. We did welcome her here and would be glad to have her schedule that trip. The COVID really did, though. It literally took the visit off the books for the time being, and we will hope to see her come to Cherokee Nation. She was going to come and actually talk, Tom, about Indian health care, because there was a task force assembled about Indian health care in this country. Some parts of this country, Tom, you can't drive down to a clinic like we have and see a $10 million facility in Oshelada, for example, or come down to our largest in Indian Country facility in Tahlequah. Some parts of Indian Country, the infrastructure is in poor shape. The resources are not good. The local tribe may not have the resources to add to it like we do. They did a report on those deficiencies and some other issues. They want to come here to see the best in Indian Country. So she was going to come see that, and I sure hope she can in the near future.
Well, that'd be great. What else is going on in Cherokee Nation that we need to know about? There's a lot of good news. I know I missed some.
Well, there's always the good news, and we don't ever able to cover it all. But we had $25 million from our Federal CARES Act allocation. That's the COVID response money from the government of the United States. We're putting that into lots of areas, and we've touched on some of them already. But we're also building some buildings across Cherokee Nation to handle food security issues in the future, public health type issues in the future, spreading out our staff in the future. Because, you know, look, I wish all those buildings were built today, Tom. We're building them as quick as we can. We have the funds to build them. We really don't know how long COVID is going to last. You know, I try to listen to public health experts, and when I see what they have to say, I think this is going to be with us through at least the middle of 2021. So we're trying to get these buildings up so that we can continue to respond to COVID. And look, after COVID's over, there'll be buildings we can use for community space and all those wonderful things we like to do when the coast is clear in terms of public health. We also, Tom, just last week put solar panels on two of our existing community buildings. That's something when I came into office, I wanted to see us do, get more energy efficient and utilize the technology that we have today. So in South Cottonville, not too far down the road from where you are, and down around Tahlequah, we've got community buildings that have solar panels on their roofs. That means their energy bill is going down. That means they put that money into taking care of their community in other ways. So lots of things, Tom. It's an exciting time to be in Cherokee leadership, and we're doing our best to get through a crisis and look to some really great days ahead.
Hey, Chief, thank you very much for being with us here on Community Connection. I'm going to put you on hold. We got some folks who want to say hi to you. If you'll just I'll put you on hold, and we'll be back with you here in just a couple of seconds. But thank you for being on the program. That is Chief Chuck Hoskins with Cherokee Nation right here on K1, the one you trust.